Well, I've been blessed this morning, have you?
Amen.
My. Daryl, I want you to travel everywhere I go from now on.
Amen.
I've got some good news to share with you today. Everybody likes good news, don't they?
Amen.
Going to be a baptism today.
Amen.
Around the world. Do you know how many people will be baptized today and join the Seventh Adventist Church? I think I called the office of the General Conference statistics more than anybody. They know my voice. Because I'm interested. There will be over 21,000 people baptized today.
Amen.
That's not very strong, amen.
Amen.
That's better. You know, you go to the black churches and they talk to you all the time you preach. If you don't have a good sermon, they'll help you make it up as you go along. It's a privilege for me to be here with you. I like your camp meeting. I like what's going on here. Any conference that doesn't have a camp meeting is missing a lot.
Amen.
Camp meeting is so very important. And I hope that by next year, every one of you will plan your work schedule. You'll take a week's vacation and come up here to this hilltop. You're away from the city, away from work and other things and problems, and come for refreshing. Open your Bibles, please. Let's look at that verse again that we read, Brother Kingsley read. Brother Kingsley's my good friend. I took him to Ukraine. He got a little sick over there, but he's recovered now, thank the Lord. We took 95 people over there, and we baptized, with God's help, many people. You know, evangelism is going on. That's how you win people. Preach the message. Preach the message. That's how it works. Jeremiah 18. We're going to read it once again. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then he went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good for the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Some of you know I grew up on a farm in Iowa. We didn't have a potter in our little town. We had a blacksmith. Blacksmith made wheels for wagons and horseshoes. But after a while, he gave up the horseshoes and he became a tractor dealer, so forth. But nevertheless, my first trip overseas, when I was a young pastor, I wanted to go to the Middle East and to look around and so forth. So I went to the bank and borrowed all the money. The banker trusted me enough to loan me the money to go travel. It was the best money I ever spent. And I saw a potter for the first time. Greece, Jordan, Israel, Egypt. And I was intrigued. I saw a potter for the first time. And then later, traveling now around the globe, I've seen so many, many potters. If you come to my house, you'll find pottery all over the place. I pick it up. It's amazing. Little ones, big ones, and so forth. And it's an interesting watch the potter at work. Now, Jeremiah went down to a potter that he probably saw on the street. From the street, he could look right into the potter's house. In the Middle East, still today, when they put up these wooden sheets of wood and they close up the shops, it will almost as if there was no one there. You go down there later and everything, you don't even know that it's an alley or a street. But in the morning, they take those all off and you can see everything. The shops are there and all that. And so he looked into the potter's thing, and there he saw three things. He saw a man, he saw a wheel, he saw some mud. And he looked at the potter, see what the message was. And the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. He was not able to make what he was planning to make. Even Jeremiah could recognize that he was not able to make what he planned to make. I've watched the potters everywhere I go. I've seen them. Seoul, Korea has thousands of potteries right now, even today, because they make these great big clay pots that they put kimchi in. Anybody ever hear of kimchi? You know anything what it's like? It smells terrible, but it tastes good. My wife likes it a little better than I do. But nevertheless, the Korean can't have a meal without kimchi, and so they make these great big pots. You'll see them on the house, their house and so forth. And in Greece, I've seen potters there and so forth. And so it's a very common thing in other places of the world. And I've picked up all kinds of pottery. Some of them are very ornate. After they make the pottery, then they'll glaze it, and they'll put all kinds of designs on them. And we have a big one in our house I bought over in China, and it has a light inside. Big white thing has been porcelainized on the outside after the clay was made. What a lesson for us. This is a picture of God trying to form us into a vessel. But it was marred in the hand of the potter. And so the potter had to start over. One of my Bible translations, another Bible I have, says they smashed it and started over. He smashed it and started over. But here it says it was marred, and so he made it again, another vessel. Every time I see a potter at work, I know he has a dream in his mind. There he is at work, and some of them even kick the wheel on the bottom. And there's a big shaft, and on top the wheel is spinning, and below he kicks the wheel, and then it spins. And I've seen them mix up the mud. They take this dirt, a little water, and a great big barrel, and he has a great big paddle, like an oar on a little boat. And he mixes and mixes and mixes. And finally, when he's satisfied, he sits down at the wheel, he pours water on this wheel, and then he dips in and he grabs a glob of clay and he puts it there. And at that moment, I know he has a plan. He has a plan. What is he going to do? Do you know God has a plan for every one of us, even before we were born? Just as sure as there's a place in heaven, there's a place for us down here on this earth where he wants us to work and what he wants us to do. The potter found he was unable to finish his job there because it was marred in his hand. I wondered why he had trouble. I wondered why the potter had trouble. Was he not as skillful as he should be? Was he tired? Was he careless? Why would the heavenly potter fail with us? There's only one reason. Because we sometimes resist the potter's hand. We have our own plans. And even God can only do what is left with our lives. But the good news is that the potter did not throw the clay away. Oh, I'm glad he didn't throw it away. Can someone say amen? Amen. That means that wherever we are in our experience right now, God is ready to take us and form us into another vessel and do what he can with us and will save us in his kingdom. And so God has a plan for us. And if you're willing, something wonderful can happen in you during the next few months, the next few years, right here in Mountain View Conference. I'm thrilled with what your conference is set out to do. My wife and I, 10 years ago or so, took a cruise, and we met a lady who played the piano, gave concerts there. I found that she had been in China 10 years. She spoke beautiful Chinese. And her husband was on the ship too, and so I saw them. I got acquainted with him first, and he told his wife about us, and she wrote us a note, said, I'd like to have dinner with you people. You've been in the Orient a long time, and so forth. And so her husband got off at the next port and had to fly back to work. He works for the U.S. government. But we had dinner with her, and she was an interesting lady. She has 10 years in China, speaks beautiful Chinese, and plays the piano well. She raises money for orphanages. That's what she does for China. I was intrigued by that. And she wondered, what about us, and so forth. She had a little wine with her meal, and she had some meat, and we're vegetarians, of course, and so forth, and she was curious about that. Do you like to read? Yes. Yes, I do. So I mailed her Great Controversy. I mailed her Desire of Ages. I mailed her Bible readings, and I mailed her the whole set of the Amazing Facts Bible lessons. Boom. Well, who would believe that we met her again on another cruise just a few weeks ago? There's a passion play in Germany. I've been wanting to go to it for 40 years. It comes every 10 years. Oberammergau. Anybody hear about that? You know about that? Yes, some of you do. It's south of Munich, a little village. About 300 years ago, they had a sickness there, and they said, Lord, if you will save us from this plague, we'll have a passion play every 10 years. It's a big deal. And I wanted to go, so we've got on a ship in Florida. Do you know anything about relocation cruises? The only kind we can go on is we can get a bargain price. But when they move the ship, it's very, very reasonable. And so we went 14 days on that ship over there and so forth. Who was there on the boat? The lady playing the piano. My, we wrote her a note. Daddy wrote her a note and said, we'd like to meet you again. Oh, she answered immediately. She said, we'd be delighted. And so we had dinner together again. She's now a vegan. Can you imagine? She said, I believe the Sabbath. She said, you mail me so many things. I'm convinced of the Sabbath. It's true, isn't it? I go, yes, of course, we know that. So, you know, you're going to mail books all over this conference. There's going to be tremendous results of this, folks. Do not despair and do not give up quickly. And if you will do this thing, you will have a harvest. Amen. This conference could be the light that booms across North America. This conference could be that one. I was in Romania just a little while ago, preached over there. I've been over there a number of times, had a workers' meeting, preached to all the preachers and so forth, about like I did here in January with here in this conference. And then they invited me back to hold a meeting over there and so forth. I talked to the union president. Do you know that Romania has more Seventh-day Adventists than almost all of the rest of Europe together? It's true. Romania, that little country. How can it be? I asked the union president, how is it that you're growing? How is it that you have so many converts? He said, we train the laymen. That's all. Amen. We train the laymen. Period. We train the laymen. That's all. We train the laymen. He said, we are convinced that before long, our pastors are not going to be able to preach freely. The Orthodox Church is so angry at us all the time. They are trying to block us up in every way they can, but they can't put our members in jail. We have too many. You know, we live on a flat, they live here, and the people there, they ride the bus to work. You can't close them up. I went to a meeting with them out in the mountains, and they had rented a big white tent, and they had little tents for all the people, and we had a lay congress out in the country. What a beautiful experience it was. And one after another got up and they said, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing in sharing the faith. My, last year I went down to Greece and preached in Greece and went to the little island of Patmos. I'd never been to Patmos. I wanted to go to Patmos. And so my wife and I flew over to Athens. I preached over there and went down to Patmos. And there in Athens, we have a whole Romanian church. There they are. And they're boiling over like a rice pot. And they're down in Greece, and they're down in Italy, and so forth. And they're sharing their faith. God may be asking you to do something special for God. Oh, you say, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I don't have this, I don't know. But you know, I've seen people who can't even read who preach. And they hold the Bible up, and sometimes it's bottom side up, and so forth. We have many in the Philippines of our lay preachers who cannot read, and they preach wonderful sermons. God has a plan for you. Never put anybody down. One of my friends was ministerial secretary down in Texas some years ago. One day, a young man came in. He was studying over at Keene, Texas, and he came in. He says, you know, I'm tired of school. I want to preach. Well, if you persist and go to school by and by and go to Andrews and get your MDiv, then probably you can preach. No, I want to preach right away. Well, you know, I want to preach right away. No, we can't do that. There's a system. We have a training of pastors. You need to learn some Greek and so forth. It doesn't matter that people don't know anything about Greek, but you need to learn Greek and so forth. He says, are you the boss here? No, not really. It's the conference president, Cyril Miller, down the hall. Can I talk to him? Yeah, I can talk to him. Come down to Cyril Miller. The young man said, I want to preach. Could you give me a little church? Well, go to school. No, I'm tired of school. I've been over there. I got enough of that. Let me preach. So they said, there's a little church out here. There's a pastor. He has four churches. You can have his little church. Would you like to take it? Sure. Give it to me. And so he went out there and he preached that little church. And he was there a little while and he left. He went to Arizona. Started preaching to the Indians out there. Pretty soon he went to California. He kept on preaching. That guy's name is Baxter. He is the head of Amazing Facts. Don't ever put anybody down. You know, maybe God has a plan for some of you to do some more preaching. You know, what can you do for us? You know, my. There's many, many, many possibilities. Brazil has now more Seventh-day Adventists than the United States. United States and Canada together. Can you believe that? In Brazil. When I was in Brazil, I said, why is it that you're growing? He said, we open the church on Sunday night. That's all. Pardon me for hitting that microphone. We open the church on Sunday night. My. He said, that's when people come. We sing songs. And so I watched that. I went out and I watched church after church. Yes, Sunday night. And there was young people out on the step there. The boys were on one side and the girls on the other side. They had that beautiful black hair and white dresses. And they were swirling their skirts a little bit, and the boys were ogling the girls. Where better to ogle girls than in church? Somebody can say amen. It's all right. It's all right. And the church is growing, growing. And you know what? Something can happen in this conference. You are starting a wonderful project, this great controversy project. My, share it, my. Sow the seed. It'll come by. It'll come. There will be a result. And so I want you to know that great things can happen. The Lord is going to bless you. My wife and I, 46 years ago, were holding meetings in Sacramento. We had an auditorium. We had billboards on every one of the freeways, and the newspaper in Sacramento Bee wrote little articles about us. And there was a guy down there who made fun of everything, you know, and he wrote about, there's a guy out there advertising $1,000 for a text. And he said, just you Sunday peepers, look, if you want a little money, go out and get that money. Well, just needs to take one text and send the newspaper. And he told us where we were, at an auditorium and, you know, so forth. And, you know, he made fun of us. That was the best advertising we had in a long time. They came out to see that auditorium and see if it would fall down. And I got a letter one day from the General Conference. Highest authority on earth, would you go to Japan? Well, we're young and foolish, sure. Why not go to Japan? And so we went to Japan. We got over there. I tried to do the same thing I was doing in Sacramento, but it didn't work. I put out 1 million handbills in a little corner of Osaka, Japan. That's Japan's number two city. I put out a million handbills, and I got a few people, just a handful of people, empty chairs everywhere. You can't baptize empty chairs. You got to have people in those chairs. I was so discouraged, I thought, Lord, why did you bring me here for? And I'd promised to stay 7 years. My, 7 years. Lord, what do you want me to do? Preached empty chairs? All I could think of was going back to California, blow up that auditorium again, and to preach and baptize people. And my, I just, Lord, what did you bring me here for? And some people came and said, would you teach us English? No, I wouldn't teach you English. Why? Well, no, I wouldn't do that. No, do you know what a gerund is? You know anything about parts of speech? Who cares what a gerund is? Do you ever like diagramming sentences? You know, I could find the subject and the verb and an adjective and an adverb, but after that, you know, the hanging participles and what's all that for? You know? My, teach English? No. I drove them away like pesky flies, but they kept coming. We had a building down in Osaka. The church had built a center. We went through a phase. We had one in New York, we had one in London, we had one in Cairo, we had one in Jakarta, and we had one in Osaka. 5 centers. I visited every one of them to see what they were doing. Nothing was going on, really. And finally, we got out of that business. The Kretschmars did more in New York with taking blood pressure out on the street than those centers ever did, and so forth. And so there I am in Osaka. Would you teach us English? No. I drove them away. But finally, I said to my wife, you know, let's give it a try. So I made a little sign. Little A-frame sign to put out on the street, put some ads in the paper, and I made up a little slogan, Anatomo Ego and Hashimasu. Does anybody speak Japanese here at all? Anybody speak Japanese? No, you don't. That's beautiful Japanese, in case you didn't know it. It's you too can speak English. Anatomo Ego and Hashimasu. I put it out on the street, and I organized, and we got 12 students. 12. We started. Soon we had 24. Soon we had 100. Soon we had 200. Soon we had more than we could ever take care of, so now we had to have some student missionaries. And so we began to invite student missionaries to come and help us, and it grew and it grew and it grew. Soon we had 700 students in Osaka teaching them English, but they were now our friends. And now something could happen. There are 4 steps to every human relationship: contact, friendship, confidence, and opportunity. You never have opportunity until you've gone through those steps. You've got to make a friend. Contact, friendship, confidence, and opportunity. And so now they were our friends, and so 9% of them would come to our Bible class. We begin to baptize some people and so forth from that English school. From there, I went down to Indonesia, went over to Korea, and last September, I was over in Korea to celebrate the Korea program, a language school program. They invited me over, and they gave me a new watch. Can you imagine? It says Seventh-day Adventist on my watch. I never got. They gave me a new suit made in Korea, 2 pair of trousers. And they said it's worth $500. Pretty good looking suit, isn't it? Anyway, they gave it to me. They said, we remember you helped us start this program. We have 60,000 students in Korea right now. 60,000 coming every day to our language schools. We have 70 pastors just in the language school churches. We have a church at every language school. Organ, piano, it's all there. Go over to Korea and see it. And some of you can go and teach over there. If you don't have a job, you can go over to Korea, teach English. It's a growing concern, but the main thing, we're baptizing people. So I finished my work at the General Conference, it's time to retire, and so forth. So the Baltimore people said in the Chesapeake Conferences, Pastor Morey, would you come over to our place? Just run a little church over here. Pastor a little church. All you have to do is preach on Sabbath and chair the board. Well, I knew that was prevarication because who's going to visit the sick and so forth and so on. Anyway, went over to the church. It was all old people. I said to my wife, we're going to have an old folks home here if we're not careful. And I said, let's start a Pathfinder Club. We're both master guides, and we love to camp and so forth. We started a Pathfinder Club and so forth. And so in a little while, we had the number one Pathfinder Club in the Chesapeake Conference, got a big trophy for it and so forth. Anyway, then we started a school, and we started a daycare. And across the street was a daycare. It was full, across the street from the church. So I went down to Anne Arundel County, and I enrolled in a course to take daycare. I went there, it was all women, of course, and I signed up for it, and the lady, when I walked in, she said, sir, can we help you? I said, I'm registered for this course, but this is daycare. I said, I know, but this is daycare. I said, I know, but this is daycare. I said, I know. Why are you here? I'm a pastor, and I'm going to open a daycare, and I don't like people blowing smoke by me. That's why. I want to know from A to Z how to run a daycare. Boom. So I took the course. Well, she got sick after a while, and she phoned me and said, would you teach the class? Well, of course I could teach a class. I have a PhD, and I taught classes at the university, believe it or not. And so I could do that, and so forth. Anyway, go to Linthicum, see a daycare, church school. We have 70 kids there now. We baptized some of them, making contact, friendship, confidence, and opportunity. Now these books are going to make contact. You can make contact with people. My wife and I have gone up our street. We have a little on a cul-de-sac. Christmas time, we gave them cookies and a book and a prayer with every home up and down our street. Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Don't be afraid to pray with people, talk with people, give them literature. I'm mailing books out all the time. I found out after I finished my tour over there at the church, I've been there 8 years, and so I joined back to Triadelphia Church. And there in Triadelphia, they had a budget for literature, but they're never spending the money, and so I thought I'd need to help them. So I've been mailing books. Paul Glenn over at the ABC, I said, Paul, can you help me? Sure, I'll mail them out to you. And so we've been mailing books. I've been giving people a package, Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, Bible readings, and the whole set of amazing facts. The little library, boom, started out. There's going to be a result, folks. Mail it out. Well, the treasurer said, what's going on here? My, we're spending so much money. And we, well, of course, I'm hoping others will pick up the same thing and do the same thing. Be bold, be brave, reach out, evangelize. God has a plan for you. Now, you think I forgot about the potter? No, I haven't. I haven't forgot about him. God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us. He has a plan for our life. I was in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was 17 years old. I loved to fly. A man kept his plane on our farm, a little J3 Cub. Some of you are pilots. You know exactly what that is. And I was crazy about flying, but I was thinking of taking medicine or being a preacher. And I met a little girl who took my eye. She was the sharpest little girl I'd ever met in my life, and she smiled at me and so forth, and we got acquainted, and she said, whenever I get married, I'm going to marry a minister. I didn't say a word, but I marked down, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in the game anyway. We just finished 54 years of marriage. Thank the Lord for a wonderful wife. She's praying for. I spoke to her a couple times this morning, and she's helping with our grandkids right now and so forth. But folks, God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. Why did the potter fail? And Jeremiah was watching. I don't know for sure. Why does the heavenly potter fail? Only one reason. We resist the potter. That's all. That's how simple it is. We resist the potter. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Can you turn over there? Isaiah chapter 5. And we're going to read a few verses. Now I will sing a song to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. I'm in Isaiah 5. I'm going to give you a time. You're still struggling there. Open it up. Find Isaiah, please. Isaiah, because there's something very important here. He fenced it, I'm on verse 2, and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein. He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. What could I have done more? That's what the Lord says to every one of us. If we've marred the vessel that God wanted to make of us, the Lord says, what could I do more for you? I've given you health, strength, mind. You've got eyes, you've got ears, and so forth. And whatever you have, but even if you're blind, you can do things. My father was blind. A lot of people don't know that. Legally blind. He could see just a tiny bit in one eye. But we owned a farm. He owned a business. He hired a driver to drive for him all his life. We had a new car. We had a new John Deere tractor. We owned a business, insulating houses. I've poured rock wool into old houses in Iowa. We put on screens and windows and storm windows and doors and so forth. And you know what? Remember what it was like? The old storm door, you take out the screen, you break it, and you put the glass in and you break it off season and so forth. So my father patented a self-storing storm door in Iowa. Got a patent attorney in Des Moines, Iowa, paid him a fortune of money to work it all through, made a working model. You have to do that to get a patent. And then he marketed, tried to the companies, making a storm door, self-storing storm door. And my, it's a handy gadget. Well, none of them wanted to do that. None of them wanted to do that. They didn't want to pay anything for it. One company offered him $40,000. We'll buy it from you. No, I don't want that. Just give me a royalty. That's all. Just give me a royalty. No, no. They wouldn't do it. So they waited. When the patent was over, immediately you could buy at Lowe's and Home Depot a self-storing storm door. I bought two for my house. Self-storing storm door. Made it, of all places, in Des Moines, Iowa. Can you imagine? So whoever you are, God can use you in doing a missionary work. And these next few years, this should be the priority. I'm glad for your President Larry and what the emphasis and your whole pastoral staff are putting on this for this conference. This can be a light for North America. Something wonderful can happen. I came home from the Far East after 18 years in 1982. And I went to the General Conference, and they gave me a bunch of committees to sit on and so forth and so on. And they gave us one committee. It was supposed to last only for a couple of years. It was to evaluate Andrews University Seminary, training for preachers. Well, that's interesting. I don't know why, but I do have a PhD, and my name was in the book for Andrews University, and I taught some classes over there. I was an adjunct professor for a number of years and so forth. Anyway, so we met at Andrews over a period of time. And I'd been overseas for 18 years, and I had been overseas so long that whenever I went to do something, I would think, how do I say this in Japanese? It was kind of funny, because I would try to do some business, and the first thing I would do is try to think, how am I going to say this, and so forth. Anyway, now I realize, now I don't have to say it in Japanese, and so forth. Anyway, I sat on this committee. Finally, I found my voice. One day, I asked a question. Where in this curriculum does it tell pastors to train laymen? I'm telling you, I opened a firestorm. Pastor Morey, we are a seminary. Now, what does that mean? We're a seminary. That's beneath us. We're a seminary. You need to know all about the German theologians and so forth and so on. And you know, and be sure you know Hebrew and Greek. And yes, we're a seminary. But listen, I said, you're giving an MDiv, you're giving a doctoral ministry to our pastors. Aren't you anywhere telling them that one of their big jobs is to train the layman? Pastor Moy, that's the job of the local administration. That's the conference job to do that. That's an internship. No, I said, look, somewhere we have to do that. Every church is to be a training school. Every church, who's to be the leader? The pastor. Train laymen. Train the layman. Some of you are old enough to remember World War II. Remember Dunkirk, British Army, driven over there by the Germans. They were not prepared for the German Army and so forth in France. And they escaped over there to the hills of cliffs of Dover along England. I've taken that boat across from there, my wife and I, and visited from Dunkirk, went over there, cliffs of Dover. And those British soldiers were dumped out over there on the shore, and they were just so exhausted, and they were so beat out. And they landed there on the shore of England, and Churchill went out there. Remember Churchill? He was something else in his speaking. He was a poor student, you know that? But he did one thing. He learned how to speak. He went out along those shores and he gathered those soldiers around and he said, we'll fight them in the air, we'll fight them on the water, we will fight them on every piece of land in England. They will never take these islands. Hitler was listening to that. It scared him to death. He had never met anything like that. And so he looked across the channel and he said, you know, this is going to be hard. We'll go and fight Russia. And that was a big mistake for him, but nevertheless. And they kept bombing England, bombing England, bombing England. I've talked to some of the British people over there, and they would be sleeping when the bombs had fallen. They'd hear the bomb fall there, and they'd go back to sleep because they missed them that night, and so forth. Churchill went out to a little school one day, a boys' school. And the British wear a tie with short pants. I never figured that out, but nevertheless, that's the way they dress. And so he went out to that boys' school, and he came out on the rostrum there to talk to the boys, and he went over to the stage over there, and he started over there, and he said, never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up. And he walked off the stage. They thought that was the introduction. That was the whole speech, one of his favorite speeches. Never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up. And walked off. Train the layman, train the layman, train the layman, train the layman. Say it with me. Train the layman, train the layman, train the layman, train the layman. You can do that. Every one of you. Get a book. There's so many things available. So many things. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, some time ago, a young man got a call from his mother. Bill, I want you to come and take me to a meeting. Oh, really? Okay, Mom, sure, I will. He lived in his own house. Where's Dad? Well, he won't take me. Well, I'll come over. So he went over to Mom's house. Where are we going? We're going to the Adventist Church. Oh, really? Here's the brochure. He looked at it. Mom, there's no name here of Adventist Church. It says just an address. Well, it says Church Auditorium. I went to the phone book, and I looked at every church in the phone book. So I know where it is. It's the Adventist Church. Oh, really? What's all these beasts? What's that all about? I don't know. Let's go find out. So he took his mom. He went to it. His mom didn't get hooked, but he did. He attended every meeting after that. He was baptized. He was making $500,000 a year. He lived in a brand new home. He had a new Lexus, so forth. All the things, the toys that you have for when you have money. And so forth. Now he went to preach. He went to the Oklahoma conference and he said, I want to preach. Well, go to Andrews and so forth. Almost like what they did to Baxter, you know, bachelor. And no, I want to preach. Well, you go to school and so forth. Look, I saw that guy, he used PowerPoint. You know, I know a lot more about computers than that. I know a lot more about computers. Let me have a little church. And so they gave him a little church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the fastest growing church in the United States right now. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You can do that in Mountain View Conference. Take a little corner. Preach. How many campaigns do you have, Bill? I went down there for camp meeting 2 years ago. I spent some time with him. I was down there again last year, held a campaign in Oklahoma. Met him again. Bill, how's it going? Going wonderful. How many campaigns are you having? Five. Start in September. We have two before Christmas. From January to May, we have three. I've done that in Seoul, Korea. I've had in the church in Seoul, Korea, and with God's help, not to my glory, but the God's glory, we're the fastest growing church in Seoul, Korea, the language school church. Boom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not just one time. I just finished a meeting over here in Parkersburg. Now it's time to have another one, folks. Do another one. There's people who came. They'll come again. They'll come again. And a lot of them, you know, I've taken people through three Bible courses before they respond. You know, it takes a lot to be a Seventh-day Adventist. You need to know something before you're baptized. There's a couple down here. Dr. LaVos and his wife, Sandy. Where are you? Where are you, Sandy? And Dr. LaVos, put up your hand. Where are you? Don't be embarrassed. Where are you? You're somewhere. Oh, they're here. They're here. I met them 35 years ago in Korea. I had a service for their little boy born over there in Korea. He's now a dentist and so forth and so on. He's been studying with his family here for a long time. Is it true? Yes, yes. They're happy right here. You ought to have their testimony this afternoon, Larry. But anyway, how the Lord has blessed them. You can do that, folks.
Amen.
You think I've forgotten about the potter? No, I haven't forgot about the potter. The potter. The Lord said, to Jeremiah, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter has done? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? I want you to put your name right there. Maury, Larry, whoever you are, put your name right there and say, oh, can you do it to me? Put your name there. What does God have planned for you in the next 12 months? This camp meeting could be a turning point for you when you make a decision. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make sure that I open my heart, my life, to the Holy Spirit. I've been analyzing why people leave the church and how it can happen. Tithe paying goes first. Don't have time for offering. Don't have an impetus. Next thing, the Sabbath school lesson, if they'd been studying it, they leave that off. Prayer meeting, if they ever went, that goes. Then Sabbath school attendance will go. The last thing that will go will be church attendance. Marred in the hand of the potter. God had a plan for every one of us. How have we done? But the good news is this. God does not throw the clay away. The potter does not throw the clay away. He's ready to help us right now. Whoever we are, whatever problem we're facing. And the Lord says, what could I do more for you in the vineyard? I planted good seed and so forth and so on. I built a fence. What more could the Lord do for us? This camp meeting is a place for all of us to make a new commitment to the Lord. Lord, whatever energy I have left, whatever money I have left, I'll use it for your cause. Yeah. A little while ago, Ted Wilson, he's one of the vice presidents of General Conference, he came to me, he says, Maury, I want you to help with Christian Record. Well, what do I need to do? Oh, they need money. Well, they always need money. And so forth and so on. And so, anyway, I've been going a little bit. Last week I was in Hagerstown Church. Talked to Hagerstown. I never mess up the offering. Let it all go on. But at the end of the service, for those of you who would like to, you know, I tell them. And last week they gave over $1,100 at Hagerstown after they'd already donated for that. I contacted a man that I know. He's along in years, a little older than I. We used to run together. I used to really run. Do you believe that? I used to run. I could run a marathon in Singapore easy. And I ran all the time. This guy ran. Anyway, he owns a lot of money, a lot of land, a lot of things. So I called him the other day and I said, I want to take you to dinner. Okay, Maury, what are we going to do? We'll have a baked potato and a salad. So I didn't splurge too bad. And at the end of it, I said, I'll be calling you. I need you to make a donation. All right, Maury, all right. So I called him a few days later, and I said, have you thought about it? Yes, I've thought about it. Maury, what do you have in mind? I said, you could give $1,000, couldn't you? He thought I said $10,000, and he could have done it. He said, well, $10,000, Maury, is a little more than I had planned, but could I give you $1,000 now? I said, yeah, you can give me $1,000 now. But his finger slipped and he wrote $2,000 on the check to Christian Record. You never know who has money. You never know what can be done. Try it. Move ahead. Do something great for God. Make this conference the brightest soul-winning spot in all of North America. Amen. It can happen. It can happen. You. Oh, you say, you know, I couldn't do this. You know, I had an image long ago that I had to have only young people because I started the language schools with only young people. And one day I got a letter from the General Conference. Two ladies were retiring from the General Conference. And they said, Pastor Maury, we've heard about your language school program. We'd like to come and work in your program. I'm 65 and my friend is 68. Can we come? I picked up my dictaphone and I was ready to write the letter. I hope you can find something satisfying and enjoy the final years of your life and blah, 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 blah. And my wife would always type it up. And then I held that dictaphone in my hand and I read, can we bring a red dress to Korea? My Do you still have a red dress? You're 65, you still have a red dress? I thought, man, anybody 68 that has a red dress must still have some life. On the basis of the red dress, I said, come, join us. Come and join us. And so they came, and you know what? They were some of my best teachers I ever had. I've taken 3,600 people overseas. I used to meet them in Tokyo 100 at a time. I'd rent buses, and we took them down to near Mount Fuji, had orientation, so forth and so on. These two ladies came. They were so outstanding. Later, I recruited older people. You know, they don't get sick. They're on time. And my, give me an older person. I'll tell you, you can't put them down. They know how to work. And they know how to be there on the job and so forth. Later, I had over 100 people, over 65, in the Far Eastern Division. The Far Eastern Division used to have 99% of all the volunteers. Now they're reaching around the world, and that's good. That's very good. But Korea is still the number one place. And folks, this conference can do something wonderful. I've seen what you've laid out here. I was here for a workers' meeting. I see the spirit of your pastors. And now, folks, join together. And the Lord says to you, cannot I do with you as this potter has done to the clay? Whatever life you have left, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. People ask me all the time how old I am. I don't know why people ask me how old I am, because I have gray hair. But one of my grandsons said, Grandpa, why do you have gray hair? I said, that's because I'm old. He says, my, I hope I never get old. But never, don't put old people down. My, they're faithful, they're workers. My, give me an old couple and I'll take them, brother. They are committed and so forth. No matter who you are, God can use you. I want you to put your name right here. Lord, take me, mold me, make me the man you'd have me to be. Many years ago at a prayer meeting, a lady prayed a prayer. She prayed, she says, Lord, whatever you need to do into our lives, just have your way with us. Just have your way with us. Whatever you have to do, have your will be done. That little lady was inspired by a prayer from another person. Incidentally, I'm going to throw into you at prayer meeting, and folks, pray so people can hear you. Have you ever been to a prayer meeting where people hide their face in a chair, put their hands over their face, and they pray? Yes, you have. I can tell by your face. And they pray. Nobody can hear you. No. Lift up your voice. Pray so people can hear you. You're inspired. This lady was inspired. Have thine own way, Lord. All the way home, she thought about that. Have thine own way. By the time she got home, she had this poem completed. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. You must be aware that most of the songs in our hymnal were written first as a poem, and someone else put the music to it. Look up at the top, the left of the song is who wrote the poem, on the right is who wrote the music, and later it was put into music. Have thine own way. I wonder what's in your heart today. Do you have some unspoken requests? Do you have some situations in your family you're concerned about? Have some health problems? I'm going to ask you if you want to come and join us for prayer up here. But as we sing our closing song, Have Thine Own Way, we're going to gather here for our closing prayer. So let's sing our song. And you'll notice what it says there, Have Thine Own Way. And then we're going to have a prayer, and we're going to have two prayers. We're going to have one of our laymen pray, and we're going to have one of our pastors pray. If you'd like to join us, come and join us in the prayer room.
Number 62, and you're welcome to come forward and allow Jesus to have his way in your life. I don't know about you, but when I try to mold and make myself, I make a mess. But I'm thankful that when we yield to the great potter, the one who molded clay and formed us originally in the Garden of Eden, that he's willing to reform us and make us his as we are willing. Number 62.
Hey. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way.
You to mark this day in your mind. You're making a decision. Whatever life I have left, Lord, I want you to mold me. Take me. Use me. You know my problems. You know all about me. But Lord, you're the one that can make the vessel you want me to be with whatever life I have left. As we pray, for those of you who say, yes, I'm willing to do that, I want you to raise your hand. Hold your hand up. All everyone, you didn't come forward, but that's all right. Hold up your hand. Don't put them down. Hold them up. Please hold your hands up in a prayer commitment. We're going to have two prayers now. Would you hold up your hand as we pray?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you today. This beautiful Sabbath that you've given us and this powerful message that you've allowed us to hear today, Lord. And we just ask that we take it to heart, that we you give us that work to do, that you help us to get these controversies, great controversies, out to the entire, all of Mountain View Conference, Lord, and that you would bless that project, that you would help us to never give up, Lord. Do not let us give up until this project is done and you have come back, Lord. Make this a turning point in Mountain View Conference, that this would be that light that the pastor has spoken about today, that this would be a shining star within North American Division, that other people would be saying, what have they done? How have they gotten the spirit that to do the work that you've asked us to do? Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for those that have their hands up now. We ask a blessing on each and every one, that you would give them that mission, that ministry in their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to be the clay that is in your hands. I pray, Lord, that you'll mold us, shape us, help even by breaking us to become the power and the life that you want us to be. Help us to be witnesses to those within our families. Help us to live the right kind of life. Help us to reach out to our neighbors and share with them the joy of a relationship with you, of being molded and shaped by you and by your church. But most of all, Lord, make us soul winners in our community, which will bless this conference and make this the soul-winning conference. Lord, have thine own way with each of our lives is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.